Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tom Jennings Audio Archives. This week we have a very special interview that I conducted with Ralphie May a few years back when he was coming to town at the Seneca Niagara Casino over here in western New York. For those of you in other parts of the world, it's near Niagara Falls, which is something that figures prominently in our conversation. We kind of chuckle and make some jokes about the difference between the American and Canadian side of the falls. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. Ralphie also talks about life on the road, how it has impacted him, and I think with him dying at such a young age, it really takes on a totally different meaning. Overall, this interview feels very poignant, very timely. I hope it's something that you enjoy. Kind of started out, as you'll listen, I think he was definitely feeling a little bit under the weather, kind of stressed out about a situation that he was dealing with at home. Ultimately, he opens up for the last 4 or 5 minutes and is able to kind of loosen up and tell a few jokes and all that stuff. So anyhow, enjoy this newest installment, an interview with the legendary late comedian, Ralphie May.
By a pit bull, and we have bad nights every now and then, and I was up the night before all night with her about that, so it was a tough morning for me.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that. How's she doing?
She's good. She just has bad nightmares now, and you know, it's better on the face, so it was a lot.
Yeah, I know you talk a lot about your kids. I think your kids are named after months other than May, if I remember correctly.
Yes, April, June, and August.
All right, well, that's very cool. That's a neat way to take advantage of your last name. I hadn't really thought about it until I was watching one interview, and I go, son of a gun, he named the kids after months. I guess you're in New Jersey tonight, huh?
Yes, don't need to brag.
I'm not really sure what avenue I'll go with the interview. One of the first things I'd like to throw at you, I know you talk about it a little bit, but I'm a huge Sam Kinison fan. You know, grew up with him, very admired him. I think he was a great influence on your career, and you worked with him. So maybe we could just talk about Sam as an influence and his legacy, if you don't mind.
Sure. You know, he was great to me. Took me under his wing. He took time out to say nice things about me and give me a job on the radio. And every time he'd come to Houston, he would have me work with him. So, you know, I was really lucky.
And I mean, you know, you I mean, Sam was kind of his career skyrocketed. He went into the sort of the stadium comic mode. But I think a lot of people felt that that was sort of the beginning of the end of the greatness of him. I mean, do you think that that's a fair assessment?
Yes and no. You know, he had to dumb his material down a little bit, but he got to say it to more people. So it's a give and a take, you know?
And you've been in comedy now for 25 years, is that accurate?
Yeah.
I mean,
crazy. I never thought that'd be this long.
Well, that is crazy because, I mean, if you think about the life of any entertainer, I mean, what is it that is keeping things fresh for you?
You know, I still love it. I still love it. I still love making people laugh. I still love original thought. I love being the first one to think about something and say it, express it. I'm really, really lucky, you know. I love it. It's 25 years, and until I had babies, it never been work. You know, now it's work a little bit.
Well, is it work in the sense that you have to balance things and you maybe feel the pressure that a lot of parents that work do?
I got to be away from them so much, you know. So hard.
And I noticed this tour, it seems like it's very oddly routed. You sort of sneak into Niagara Falls, which is the show that I'm picking, but then you have these, you know, these stretches here, but you're jumping from coast to coast. I mean, that traveling aspect by this stage of your career has got to be a little rough.
Oh, yeah. You know, like last night, I took a red eye. It was brutal. It was brutal. I'm still paying for it. I'll be paying for it for 2 days. I'll just get settled, and then I'll be back on West Coast time. You know, it's a little bit much. It drains you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, have you considered kind of backing off on the road stuff, or is the appeal of just doing the stand-up just too much of a draw?
Well, you know, there's something to be said about making hay while the sun's shining, you know. If I dialed it back, you know, would I be as prolific? You know, I live by the new specials, and, you know, over the last 10 years, I've put out, oh goodness, 11 or 12. And, you know, it's, I got two more coming out this year. And so for me, it's necessary. You know, I have to perform to feed the beast. And, you know, it's like, I wish I could do TV, you know, they just don't want to give me anything, you know, so it's, I wish I could stay in town and didn't have to travel as much, but, you know, c'est la vie. I got uptown problems.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is that a lot of the, I've actually interviewed some people that, well, like Drew Carey was an example, a guy who did TV and he couldn't stand the fact that he wasn't on the road doing comedy. So, I mean, I wonder if you'd fall in that same category in some way, if you'd miss it too much.
Oh, no. Well, I'm happy in everything I do. I'm a rare comedian because I like working. I like being happy more than I do miserable. And so I think I'd love a TV show. You know, maybe not a game show, something that could be funny at. You know? But it's just so, it's just part of me, you know. It's just like you know, writing jokes is just something I do automatically, you know. The desire to be in front of an audience is omnipresent in my life.
So are you writing, you know, a lot of artists say they don't write on the road. Are you able to write on the road? Do you find inspiration in different places?
Yeah, I always do. That's so funny. Man, you got the minutiae of it all down, you know? For a writer, you're oddly attuned with comedians.
Well, thanks. Yeah, you know, and it's funny because interviewing comedians is actually difficult because I normally interview musicians, and I'm, you know, but I have such a respect and admiration for the great comics, yourself included, you know, the Sam Kinisons and I don't know, great stand-up is just, it's just great stuff, you know?
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and you know, it's a talent that, I mean, anybody can tell a joke, but not anybody can be a comic.
Right.
And what, I mean, at what stage of your career, I mean, I guess, you know, you go early on, you know, Sam Kinison was telling you good things and whatnot. Did you have to make that leap of faith where you walked away from something that looked like a better career path into this, which originally had to be a very unstable career path?
Oh, man. I had a lot of jobs on the way up. I worked in the radio, and then I cooked, and I sold weed, and I just sold weed and the occasional pill, all right? But it was always good weed. It was never a full gram, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I get 32 grams out of my ounce. But it was definitely something that I always wanted, and it was no sure thing, you know? You know, like I said, I never got into comedy to make any money. It just happened. People just started giving me money. And I was just like, okay, I'll take it, you know? It was the same thing, you know? Whether it was a $200 weekend or, you know, an $80,000 weekend, my desire never changed. Like, I didn't do it more, but when I got paid more, you know, I didn't work harder or change anything. It's so strange.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I mean, that seems like the secret to somebody's success is if you really, you find something and you stick with it, but yet, your material is always fresh, but yeah. You've never gone so far off the beaten trail to do something crazy that you alienate your fan base.
Yeah, you know, I like my fans, you know, and they're nice people, you know. I'm lucky. I think I got the best crowd in comedy. You know, they drink more, they laugh more, they eat more, they see a long show. I don't do a standard, 45-minute show. My performance usually like 1 hour 15, 2 hours.
So have you?
Depending on the venue.
Have you spent any time in the? I mean, I always have to ask the local angle question because it's a Niagara Falls newspaper. Have you spent any time at Niagara Falls and many memories?
Yeah, man. Yeah, when I was about 8-9 years ago, I was working in Toronto and I came through and stayed in Niagara Falls. It was beautiful, man. I loved it. I'm a geek like that. I went all around the park. I've gone to the park in the winter and had those goddamn squirrels attack me. You know, they're buffalo squirrels. They'll mug you. Okay, they'll take you. They'll rifle through your pocketbook. They're sons of bitches. Those squirrels, but I, you know, what I don't like is hear the Canadians talk all the goddamn time. You know, the view from Canada is so much better. It's so much better. Yeah, it's better. You're looking at America. Of course, it's better.
That has got to be the greatest line I have ever heard in my life, ever. Because you know what? Everybody comes through, musicians and comics, and they just shit on the American side. And I don't even think I can publish that because it's just such a great line. You got to use it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, publish it. Knock yourself out. It's so much better than being from Canada. Whitey, sons of bitches. How with you, man?
That's awesome. Well, I know you got to get to a show tonight, so I'll just throw another couple quick ones at you. I saw you tweeted today. You saw Lando Calrissian. That's pretty goddamn cool.
Oh, yeah, I saw Lando yesterday, Jack. That's so badass cool. Oh, my God, yeah. I was at our tennis club in L.A., the Mohalla Tennis Club, and I'm swimming with my kids, and they had just seen Star Wars, okay, the first three, and then, boom, there's walking Billy Dee Williams right there, and my son goes, Daddy, is that? Yep, that is. Okay, and he left, and we're geeking out. Lando Calrissian, oh my God! My 5 and my 7-year-old just thought it was so cool to see somebody from Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I think anybody would think that's pretty cool because I'm a huge Star Wars fan myself.
Me too. That was the coolest I ever felt, man. Well, one of the coolest I've ever felt. I tell you, that's pretty impressive.
Well, that'll lead to my last question then. Who is the coolest person you've ever met that you were just blown away by?
Oh, man. Probably Richard Pryor or Buddy Hackett, Milton Berle. Never got to meet Mr. Carson.
Wow. Well, you had a nice list, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Mr. Kennison. Man, I don't know. I met some Tony Bennett hung out with. You know, you meet some cool dudes.
Well, very cool. Well, listen, man, I really appreciate you hooking me up with this interview, and I'm looking.
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. It's so funny, Tom.
Yeah.
Take care, pal. Thank
I will, man.
For everything.
Okay, thank you. I'll see you when you come out to the falls, man.
Okay, bye, pal.
Okay, take it easy.